Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. Here I'm going to explain why Prince Andrew should be in jail. Having read that book entitled, it's brought it back to me again, got chapter and verse by the erudite Dr. Andrew Loney, often about, the spending, the financial crimes and so forth. The Virginia Giuffre allegations. We'll begin with that. Now, Virginia Giuffre, she accused him of rape. That was the word she used. Now, this one obviously can't, hasn't been proven, might never been proven. I mean, especially now she's dead, the key witness is dead. Now, one of the things that the Duke of York did was to try and discredit her, get his minions in the press, like the Daily Tory Graph, to go out and say, oh, she's lying about this and that, so she's just not a reliable witness. Now, she did at least get one thing wrong, claiming that Professor Alan Dershowitz had raped her when he never met her, and she admits she probably got them mixed up with somebody else. But just because she's wrong about that doesn't mean she's wrong about everything else, or the shape of the bath in Ghislaine Maxwell's house in London. She's possibly getting that bath mixed up with a bath in, say, a Jeffrey Epstein residence somewhere else, but it doesn't change the substance of her story. People saying, well, she said that he drank alcohol, but is well known to be abstemious. In fact, the persistent reports that Prince Andrew occasionally drinks small amounts of alcohol, so that actually might be credible. It's all his lies, because he sold so many proven lies, even in that one notorious interview with Emily Maitlis. Why would he give him the benefit of the doubt on other things that he didn't perspire until recently? Well, there are plenty of photographs of him perspiring over the years, including just after the Falklands, where he claimed he lost the ability to perspire. And he's acknowledged in legal documents he's got no proof that he was unable to perspire at any point, that he always wears a jacket and tie in London. Well, there are dozens of photos proving that not to be the case, and so that he broke off a contact with Jeffrey Epstein in 2010, when in fact he was an email correspondent with him for several months into 2011, and that he couldn't have been there because he's in Woking, but at some going to some pizza parlor, but nobody remembers of any event in Woking at that time. Even if he had been at Woking at 5 o'clock in the evening, he could easily have been in London by midnight. He takes an hour to drive, and so many lies. And incredibly conveniently, the police logs for where he was, they're just either there, they don't refuse to release them, or they've been destroyed deliberately, or what? Very handy for him. But no, he couldn't have met her in New York on a certain date because he was busy all the time. But no, the official records prove that he had a free afternoon, or he released his diaries as part of his campaign to prove his innocence. But in fact, the diaries confirmed that he was in New York City at the same time Victoria, sorry, Virginia Giuffre was in New York City. She was Virginia Roberts in the old days before she got married. So all these proven lies. So he's the one with the credibility problem. And all these false statements that he had put out in the late 1980s, saying that his marriage to Sarah Ferguson was not in trouble. It very definitely was. They're both carrying on with other people. So that's the Virginia Giuffre affair, which can probably never be proven one way or the other, as the complainant is now dead. Okay, we'll go on to other things. It is the misconduct in public office. Well, that's a common law offence. Which is to say, if a public officer, which he was, as the United Kingdom's trade and investment representative, has deliberately been neglectful in his duty, failed to carry out his duty, or misconducted themselves in that duty, and that it's been to such a level that this is abusing the public's trust in the person who holds that office. And indeed, there's no reasonable excuse, there's no justification for this behavior. It's used against police officers, for example. A police officer on duty, if he or she meets a member of the public whilst on duty and indeed copulates with that person, that's held to be misconduct in a public office. You're not going to be doing that whilst you're on duty. Loads of things like that. So what was his duty, the one he'd chosen to accept? And that was to go around the world promoting trade and investment for the United Kingdom, getting companies to sign deals with British companies to invest in the United Kingdom, and so forth. Okay, so he's already paying other civil lists, as was then, at least £250,000 a year. And we're talking over 20 years ago. So what, that's at least double in modern values. He was already going to be flown, business class, but no, he insisted on hiring private jets. And all right, that was lawful, though ethically dubious. He was already going to be given accommodation in British embassies, saying no to that. He insisted that it had to be a presidential suite or a five-star hotel. So he's already really stretching the stretching the budget here, but he better do a really good job in return for all that. But this is not for personal emolument. So there's a complete failure to distinguish between public and private. This is your public duty. You can't be using your public duty for private enrichment. That so. But anyway, right. So this is deliberately acting in such a way as to enrich himself when he's being paid for the public to do something else, misusing public facilities, private enrichment, or pitch at palace when people came to St. James's Palace or elsewhere, owned by the public. The repairs paid for by the public, with an army band playing to entertain them, they're all paid by the public, and so forth of it, yeah, to give a chance for entrepreneurs to gain investment, right? And so that's it. This is part of his public role. And then Prince Andrew trying to take some of the profit from those who were successful. Well, and that's not on. That's ripping off the taxpayer. So that's another example of corruption. That's another defalcation. So there he is stealing from the public. And so, people on minimum wage have to subsidize his five-star lifestyle. I mean, it's even above, is it like 6-star, really? So this was serious. This is not a sixpenny matter. And he didn't do it once or twice. He did it many, many times and on a huge scale. A man who's already a multi-millionaire carried on doing that kind of thing. Indeed, undermining British trade. One time there was something with the Bahrainis, though the idea is they would buy some British manufactured aeroplanes, and he was saying, no, don't lease them, a better deal for you financially, which was probably true. But that was the direct opposite of his mission. That was so gross misconduct on the public office is going to make the United Kingdom less money, not more, as a result of that. And then obviously tacking on private trips, golfing holiday. So gets flown to, let's say, Thailand for to represent the UK at some sort of golden jubilee of King Rama the eighth, I think it was, and then that's most of the way, and then going on to flying on a tiny bit to Vietnam for some golfing holiday, some trips to the Middle East, and then he disappears in 4 days in the middle. I don't account for where he is, and all right, that's not part of his scheduled time, but it's suspected going to Azerbaijan for private business interests. So Azerbaijani was going there on public duty, but then he was also going to do private deals on the side, and this has come out. So time and time again, he has abused public trust. He's abused his public role to enrich himself, already an already very, very wealthy man, and so on. And no wonder he likes to deal in places like in the Middle East, where there are absolute monarchies, and there's nothing pesky like an independent court or a free media. So he's abused his powers. It's occasionally maybe by omission, failing to show up to events where his attendance was expected. A lot of people were very much looking forward to hearing from him, and it's sometimes been by commissions, things he's actually done rather than failed to do. And this the threshold is high. He very obviously clears that bar. This is very, very serious. It wasn't a mere error. So it was gross negligence, and it's certainly harmful to the public interest. It would certainly lower public confidence in the royal family, in the public sector generally. So the sentence is up to life imprisonment. Having said that, I've never heard of a sentence being passed on someone. So if it weren't royal, he'd been in jail a very, very long time ago, and the reports are very, very persistent. You can read Dr. Loney's book, and that'll give you chapter and verse. There are multiple examples of this. This is no triviality. This is major, major stuff. All sorts of people have been complaining about it. He's such a buffoon. He's made such a fool of himself. Has actually been harmful to British trade on numerous occasions. And he's such a useful idiot. Is it was it called the Public Work Department or something like that of China? Everybody knows is a branch of the Chinese Communist Party, is an espionage thing, and being abused by them, misused by them for their propaganda purposes, by a Chinese businessman who's very close to the North Korean regime, which is extremely hostile to the United Kingdom, and he was bought this James Bond car when he was six for £4,000. He can put two noughts at the end to get contemporary values, and then it seems to have gone to his head. He really thinks he is James Bond, and apparently he's writing to Dame Eliza Manning and Buller. Then was it the head of MI6 or MI5? I don't remember which one. Often it must be six because it's overseas. Offering to do some espionage work, and she kept turning him down. But he repeatedly wrote to her. But he was such a dimwit, he would actually be harmful. And then it's said by the Foreign Office that because we knew he was a loose cannon and couldn't keep his gob shut, we never told him anything important. Yes, it leak out, particularly in pillow talk or things like that. Or he'd be blackmailed into revealing confidential information. So it's staggering and revolting what he got away with. And by the way, I'm an ardent royalist. I passionately want monarchy to believe. That doesn't have to be Charles or Andrew or any of those top 10 we've heard of. Could go to Lord Frederick Windsor, he's number 54, could go someone further down. I don't really care who it is. Even the United Kingdom import a monarch from Eswatini or Brunei or wherever, probably an established royal family. The royal family of Liechtenstein, for goodness sake, or Oman, it could be anywhere. I just like the continuity of it. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Give me your comments here. Donate on PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.